Chapter 5. Real Estate Practice. Responsibilities of Broker. Scope of Expertise. The broker will be liable for all the professional acts or occupational activities of licensees he sponsors. Training and supervision are in the best interests of both the broker and sales agent. A licensee should practice within his area of competence. For example, a new licensee with no specific background or education in finance or investing would not be considered competent to represent a client in purchasing investment property. If a licensee decides to move to a new area of specialization, hands-on training as an apprentice in a mentoring environment is the best way to become competent. An agent should always refer a client to another professional if the licensee is not competent to protect the client in a specific situation. Attorneys, accountants, inspectors, surveyors, engineers, and appraisers are just some of the specialists we rely on in the practice of our profession. Practicing with due diligence is a requirement of a competent agent. Due diligence is defined as 1. A fair, proper, and due degree of care and activity. An expressed or implied requirement in certain real estate contracts stating that a person use good faith efforts to perform obligations under a contract. A buyer who makes an offer contingent on obtaining financing must use due diligence in seeking such financing. 2. A time period in which a buyer is given the opportunity to have experts inspect the property, examine the title, and review the leases to determine whether the property matches the buyer's needs. The due diligence period usually begins after the contract has been signed and acceptance communicated. If the buyer finds objectionable conditions, he or she typically has the right to withdraw from the purchase prior to expiration of the due diligence period. Unlawful practice of law. Licensees are specifically prohibited from practicing law without a law license. Examples of this behavior would include giving legal interpretations of documents involved in a transaction, preparing legal documents, such as wills, contracts, deeds, or deeds of trust, advising a client on how to take title, and discouraging clients from seeking the advice of an attorney in negotiations, which involve special terms and conditions. If a client wishes to add terms, conditions, or contingencies to a contract, always recommend they talk to an attorney to prepare the correct wording. If a client insists on using his or her own wording or contract form, as long as what they want is legal, you must obey your client. When advising a client to see an attorney, it should be done before a client signs anything he or she does not understand. Brokerage agreements between the broker and principal. Listing agreements. The purpose of the listing is to place a seller's property on the market and find a buyer. Requirements of a valid listing include signatures of all the owners and the listing licensee, legal description of the property, list price, this must be set by the seller, definite starting and termination date, and broker compensation. There are 4 types of listing agreements. 1. Exclusive right to sell. The broker is the exclusive agent and receives the commission, even if the seller sells the property himself. This type of listing eliminates most procuring cause controversies. This is the type of listing a broker wants. The broker will be entitled to a commission no matter who sells the property. Therefore, if a seller sells his own property and owes a commission on the sale, the seller had probably signed an exclusive right to sell listing. 2. Exclusive agency. The broker is the exclusive agent and receives the commission unless the seller sells the property himself. The seller competes with the broker. This type of listing is often used by builders who reserve the right to sell new construction through their own sales office without paying a commission. 3. Open listing. The owner reserves the right to list with as many brokers as he chooses. He also reserves the right to sell the property himself and avoid paying a commission. Open listings are not found in the MLS. Only a broker who brings a written contract will be paid. Open listings can be compared to FSBOs, where the owner advertises a willingness to cooperate with licensed agents. And 4. Net listing. All money over the amount the owner wants for the sale of the property is treated as the broker's commission. The net listing is illegal in some states. Other states have strictly regulated it by setting maximum commissions and requiring brokers to provide a CMA to the seller. Most exclusive listings are placed in the MLS, Multiple Listing Service, to provide broad exposure of the property in the market. Licensees must follow the rules of the local MLS, which is owned and operated by the Board of Realtors. If a client does not want their property in the MLS, an agent must observe the wishes of the client. Buyer/tenant representation agreements. A buyer rep is an employment contract wherein the broker will be the buyer's agent. The purpose is to find a suitable property for the buyer within the buyer's market area. The buyer's broker must protect the buyer's interests at all points in the transaction. The specific services provided to the buyer should be spelled out. Compensation issues should be addressed. The agreement must have a starting date and a termination date. All listings and buyer representation agreements are taken in the name of the broker and become the broker's property. If a sales licensee leaves his sponsoring broker, he also leaves, or loses, any listings or buyer representation agreements he procured under that broker. All agency agreements must be in writing to satisfy the statute of frauds. Property manager and owner relationships. A property manager is a general agent with a broad scope of responsibilities and liabilities. A management agreement is used to create this relationship and define the role and responsibilities of the agent and the owner. The management agreement will cover such topics as accounting for funds, maintenance, leasing, collecting rents, security deposits, and budgeting. Once a licensee agrees to be a property manager, the first step is to sign the management agreement. Property managers' roles cover 4 basic areas of responsibility. These are: A. Finances and marketing of the property. Often, the property manager will have access to a cash checking account to pay operating expenses and deposit rents, and a separate trust account to hold tenant security deposits. Marketing the property will ensure that it is generating income for the owner/investor. Generating income is considered the key responsibility of the property manager. The property manager will develop an operating budget to give the owner an idea of the net income to expect. Net income is effective gross income minus operation expenses. Operating expenses will be provided to the owner. These are recurring expenses necessary for the monthly operation and maintenance of a property. They include fixed expenses such as taxes and insurance, and variable costs such as utilities, payroll, and reserves for repairs, replacement, and maintenance. Operating expenses do not include mortgage payments or debt reduction, depreciation, or capital improvements or expenditures. B. Tenant relationships and occupancy. Meeting tenant needs and requests will help ensure high occupancy rates. C. Managing the facility. A good property manager's concerns include maintenance and safety. D. Administration of the lease agreements and risk management, insurance, property and casualty insurance will be necessary to compensate any individuals who may be injured on the property. Contractors or employees who handle cash or the private property of tenants should be bonded under surety bond. If the property is a condominium complex, the property manager will address insurance issues accordingly. In a condominium complex, each unit owner will have his or her own policy to cover the unit. The complex will have a policy to cover all the public or common areas, such as elevators, hallways, parking lots, etc. Termination of employment contracts. Listings, buyer representation agreements, and management agreements will automatically terminate on the agreement termination date. They can also terminate in a variety of other ways, including fulfillment of purpose, abandonment or cancellation by the broker, revocation by your principal, mutual consent, acts of law including bankruptcy of the seller or the broker or foreclosure, death. Although sales contracts and leases survive death, service contracts are terminated by the death of either party. The broker and seller are the parties to the listing. The salesperson is not a party. Therefore, the death of the salesperson will not terminate a listing. Destruction of the property or condemnation under eminent domain. A change in property use by outside forces, such as zoning. Many listing agreements and buyer representation agreements have a protection period for the broker. The length of the protection period is negotiable. During the protection period, even though the listing has expired, the broker may still be entitled to a commission if all the criteria are met. Fair housing. The Civil Rights Act of 1866 prohibits discrimination based on race or color. There are no exceptions or exemptions to this law. The Federal Fair Housing Act, known as the Title VIII of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, forbids discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin, and religion. A 1974 amendment added sex as a protected category. This act was amended in 1988 to include family composition and the handicapped. That amendment went into effect in 1989. Family composition may be referred to as familial status. Familial status means a minor living with a parent or guardian. Familial status also includes a pregnant woman. Handicapped means mental or physical impairment. Alcoholics or recovering drug users and AIDS victims are included in the list. A handicapped tenant may modify an apartment to meet his needs at his own expense, but must be willing to restore the apartment before moving out, again at his own expense, if the landlord requires it. An apartment complex can advertise the existence of handicapped accessible units on site. Violations include charging higher security deposits, segregating any one category from any other, or refusing to permit a handicapped tenant to modify rental space. Age is not covered. This is to allow for senior housing. Senior housing properties are sometimes described as having a familial status exemption. There are two ways that a community can qualify as senior housing. 100% of the units must be occupied by someone 62 or older. 80% of the units must be occupied by someone 55 or older. Senior housing communities can refuse to sell or rent to those who do not meet the age requirement, to families with children, and to pregnant women. Note that no one is protected based upon their occupation. The law forbids discrimination and discriminatory practices in connection with the leasing or selling of residential real estate, not only by owners, but also by lenders, investors, builders, brokers, and real estate organizations and services. A landlord can refuse to lease to a mentally handicapped tenant who is a danger to himself and others. Since there is no federal standard for determining mental handicap, a landlord has to rely on a background check. A landlord can refuse to lease to a party who has been convicted of using or selling illegal drugs. Note, there are some exceptions to the rules, but real estate licensees are never exempt. Exceptions include FSBO of a single-family home when the owner owns no more than three homes at a time and no discriminatory advertising is used. Rental of an owner-occupied 1-4 family home when the services of a broker are not used and no discriminatory advertising is used. Churches owning rental property may restrict occupancy to members of the congregation as long as membership in the congregation is open to all. Private clubs owning lodgings may restrict occupancy to members as long as the lodgings are not operated commercially. The law prohibits blockbusting, causing panic selling by homeowners, also known as panic peddling. The law prohibits steering, directing buyers into or away from certain areas because of their race, color, etc. This is also known as channeling. Discrimination in advertising is also a violation of this law. In advertising, terms used to describe the property would be acceptable: two-bedroom, eat-in kitchen, etc. Terms used to describe or imply the type of person, Satya people, who might live on or in a property would be a violation. No Irish, no wheelchairs, etc. It has been suggested that more inclusive terms be used, such as gathering room rather than family room, and primary bedroom rather than master bedroom. The law requires that every broker must prominently display the Equal Housing Opportunity poster in his or her office. The Equal Housing poster is available from HUD. Failure to display the poster may be considered prima facie evidence of discrimination. Evidence so great that no further investigation is necessary. If a broker fails to display the poster, the broker is guilty of discrimination. The equal housing symbol is a house with an equal sign inside. Judges may award both economic and non-economic damages, issue injunctions, assess attorney's fees, and assess civil penalties. There are no criminal penalties. If a complaint is filed against a licensee, the licensee's best defense is written records of interaction with clients and prospects. This law is administered by HUD. When a complaint is made to HUD, HUD will try mediation and conciliation to resolve the problem before pursuing the matter in court. This will result in the soonest or the quickest resolution of the problem in most cases. Victims have up to 1 year to seek mediation through HUD and up to 2 years to file a complaint with the courts. Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. The Americans with Disabilities Act was passed to prohibit discrimination against individuals with special needs by denying them the full and equal enjoyment of goods, facilities, accommodations, services, and privileges. The removal of barriers requires ramp installations, curb cuts and sidewalks, repositioned shelves and phones, flashing alarm lights, braille markers on elevator control buttons, wider doors, elimination of turnstiles, alternate paths for travel, and levered door handles for easy access. In addition, the employment of qualified job applicants, regardless of disability, is required. New construction, including remodeling, must meet higher standards of accessibility than existing structures. Single-family homes, private clubs, historic buildings, and religious organizations are exempt from the ADA. In commercial properties, both the landlord and tenants will be held responsible for access. Therefore, both can be fined if the building is in violation of the law. Individuals with a history of mental impairment who have been declared recovered continue to be protected under ADA. Risk management. It is the broker's responsibility to supervise all sponsored and associated license holders to ensure compliance with state and federal laws and regulations relating to the business of real estate. This includes privacy and do not contact and the IRS regulations for independent contractor status. Cold calling or telemarketing has long been used in real estate to obtain new listings or clients. A licensee who wishes to telemarket must comply with the Federal Do Not Call Registry, which is administered by the FTC, Federal Trade Commission. A license holder may call a party whose number is on the Do Not Call list for 90 days after the party first contacted the license holder. 90 days is sometimes called a callback period. A broker is responsible for maintaining the Do Not Call Registry list and for keeping the information updated regularly. The broker can pay for a service to provide this information. Consumer privacy for emails falls under the CAN-SPAM Act. When using email to market real estate services, the top line of the email must say, "Solicitation for real estate business," and the body of the email must contain an opt-out choice. With the increased use of social media in real estate, it is important for agents to remember that protecting the privacy of clients is their responsibility. A licensee needs written permission from a client to advertise client property on social media. All laws that apply to print and broadcast advertising also apply on social media. Most often, a licensee is an independent contractor when sponsored by a broker rather than an employee. Independent contractor status must be established by written agreement between the parties to comply with IRS regulations. An associate must have a real estate license, and 90% or more of his income must be from production and commission-based rather than hours worked. A broker cannot require his sales associates to work strictly scheduled hours, but he may require a full-time commitment. An independent contractor must agree to pay all his own payroll taxes. None will be withheld from any payment he receives. Income will be reported to the IRS on Form 1099-NEC. Trust accounts. If the broker accepts the earnest money or deposit and acts as an escrow agent, the money must be deposited in a special trust account set up for this purpose. Please note, trust accounts must be in the broker's name. All clients' funds can be kept in the same account as long as written records are maintained. No commingling or conversion is allowed. In commingling, a broker mixes client money with his or her funds, either business or personal. Commingled funds could be subject to the claims of creditors of the broker, thus placing client funds in jeopardy. In conversion, a broker uses a client's money or commingled funds for his or her own purposes. Whenever money is held in a trust account, whether the funds relate to a lease or sale, before funds can be released from the account, both parties to the transaction must be notified in writing, i.e., both landlord and tenant, or both buyer and seller. A broker should keep copies of all documents involved in his or her business for a minimum of 4 years. Real estate brokers can protect themselves and their clients from any loss of records due to theft, vandalism, fire, or flood by making use of cloud storage. Vicarious liability. This is liability created not because of the broker's actions, but because of the broker's relationship with the liable party, his sponsored agents. The broker will be held liable for the acts of his or her salespeople while acting on behalf of the broker, even if the broker did nothing to cause liability. Antitrust laws. The Sherman and Clayton Antitrust Acts were passed to preserve business competition by prohibiting monopolies, monopolistic practices, and restraint of trade. The most significant impact of this on real estate is in the area of commissions. Commissions are always negotiable. There is no standard or fixed rate. Competing broker-to-broker commission discussions are prohibited. Listening to competing broker-to-broker commission discussions is also prohibited. If a broker overhears other brokers discussing commission rates, that broker should walk away. Any attempt to price fix is a violation. An agreement by competing brokers to confer with one another regarding their commission rates or any agreement to limit competition by assigning market areas would also be a violation. Showing properties based on the amount of commission paid is against the law. Fraud and misrepresentation. The licensee, search agent, should make every effort to be knowledgeable about the conditions of the property. This will help to avoid exposure to lawsuits. All material facts about the property must be disclosed. This would include anything that might influence the decision of a purchaser. Death on the property due to a material defect must be disclosed. Death due to violent crime, murder, on the property must be disclosed. We are not required to disclose death by natural causes or suicide. We can never disclose death due to HIV/AIDS. A property where there has been a murder or alleged haunting is called stigmatized. A property can be considered stigmatized if it is in the vicinity of the residence of a known sexual offender. Megan's Law is a federal law requiring all states to release information to the public about known convicted sex offenders when necessary to protect public safety. Licensees are not required to disclose the information, but should refer buyers to local information sources if buyers ask about this. Fraud and misrepresentation of any kind must be avoided. A seller who asks a licensee to misrepresent the property condition should be denied representation. Puffing is not misrepresentation. Puffing is marketing. Puffing uses adjectives and opinions rather than details or facts. The most beautiful landscaping. Exaggerated puffing can lead to misrepresentation. Example, the best water in the world. Remember, opinions are subjective and not factual. Puffing will never include numbers or any detail that can be tested or measured. Latent or hidden defects must also be disclosed. This would include things like encroachments or zoning or deed restrictions. Types of insurance. Errors and omissions. Insurance and general liability insurance should be carried by all brokers. Errors and omissions. Insurance, E and O, insurance, protects both broker and sales licensees from a legal claim or liability for mistakes, errors, and negligence in usual listing and selling activities. It does not provide protection for fraud, punitive damages, or the personal non-business actions of licensees. General liability insurance. Liability risks may include bodily injury or property damage caused by direct or indirect actions of the insured. General liability insurance protects a company's assets if someone is injured on company property. General liability insurance coverage most often appears in homeowners' insurance policies obtained by individual homeowners. Business entities, for broker candidates only. Brokers can operate their businesses in a variety of ways. Sole proprietorship, a single-person company. Partnership, may contain all general partners, or a combination of general and limited partners. A general partner is a co-owner who can enter into contracts on behalf of the partnership and is fully liable for all partnership debts. A general partner can be a person or a company. A limited partner is an investor with no say in the operation of the partnership, whose liability is limited to the amount of their investment. LLC, Limited Liability Company. S Corporation, a small corporation designed to remove self-employment tax and reduce personal liability.